gifts that he's given to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. All unique. And you may be sitting here thinking, yes, Pastor, you go ahead and preach it. That's why we pay you. That's why we have Pastor Sue. And that's why we brought on Chris to do the youth. You've got the ministry, Pastor. We'll just sit here and we'll just cheer you on. Yay! But what if I were to tell you that sitting in front of me, there are evangelists. There are prophets, there are pastors and teachers. You see, the fact of the matter is the ministry cannot be accomplished by the full-time positions of ministry. Pastor Sue, Chris, and I cannot do a thing to make this a great church. It already is a great church. But we cannot do anything in and of ourselves. The elders, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers cannot do anything in and of themselves to make this church grow. Folk, it's all of us together. And God has gifted each and every person in this church. The some that he refers to are used to equip the all. And God wants to use you all. In fact, 1 Peter 2:5, we are reminded that we are all priests and ministers for God, and God wants to include all of us in the work of the church. Peter writes, "And now God is building you as living stones into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priests. You offer the spiritual sacrifices that please him because of Jesus Christ." Healthy, growing churches have lots of different people involved. And secondly, not together we grow focusing on Jesus. Now that may seem rather redundant. Of course we do. But when I talk with pastors and when I watch different websites and when I listen to different podcasts, I have to wonder, man, is it all about the ARC network? Is it all about this person's ministry? Is it all about this program every day? In fact, even this morning, I received in my inbox, like I do every year around this time, a myriad of emails of well-known pastors helping me, boasting that for a certain fee, they can help me build the church to over 200. But there's a reason why God uses lots of people. Verse 12, Paul says, so the body of Christ may be built up. Underline those words, the body of Christ. See, I don't know if you figured it out yet. Maybe you've got it up here, but you need the Holy Spirit to bring it down to your heart. The church is not about you or I. It's about Jesus. It's not about the songs we sing. It's not about the drums, the guitar, the keyboard, the piano. It's not about the Sunday school. It's not about the youth ministry. It's not about any of these things. We can have the best worship team in the world, which I think we do, by as a matter of fact. We could have the best musicians on the planet, the best Sunday school teachers and youth ministry, but it means absolutely nothing unless we know that we're doing it for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I like how the message paraphrases verse 11 of chapter 1. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and who we are living for. In him we were chosen according to his plan. And in verse 6, it says, reminds us that healthy, growing churches grow together as we, in everything we do, we're doing for the praise of his glory. You know when division happens in a church? It's when we stop focusing on Jesus and turning our eyes upon ourselves. It's when we stop focusing on what brings glory to God and start focusing on my music. my Sunday school, my ministry. Folk, let us ever be mindful that we are here today, and what we're doing isn't to make a name for ourselves. It is to bring glory to Jesus. And when we do, together we will grow in unity. Together we will grow in unity. Yes, there's lots of people. You know what makes us different than the Rotary Club or the Lions Club or the Legion? We have something that those service groups can never, ever, ever, ever imagine. They can put on an appearance of unity, but they can never experience the spiritual unity we have in Jesus Christ. You know, I love going to the Christmas parades and the Canada Day parades, and in every parade there is this service group that is marching down, and they've got these funny looking hats, and they drive the funny looking and they've got the funny looking clothes. You know who I'm talking about, the Shriners, who do a great work with the Shriners Hospitals. I don't know much else about them, but man, they really look like they're having a good time. And folk, I've got news for us. The kind of unity that we experience and express is not a unity that is a put-on. We can try to dress alike. We can try to sound alike. But I've got news for us. The kind of unity that's going to impact our community is a unity that comes from the Holy Spirit within. In fact, this is what Jesus said. Jesus prayed in John 17, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus' number one prayer was for our unity. Not that we would be, that we would look alike, talk alike, sound alike, smell alike. No, he had a purpose for praying this. Why is Jesus so concerned that we be in unity together? Listen to again of how he prays at the end of verse 21. "May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." Why is unity so important to Jesus? Why is it so important to Jesus that we as Highway Christian Fellowship be a church of different people focusing on Jesus and living in unity? It's because of the middle school and the 200, 300 children that meet there every day. It's because of the 1,000 students around the corner at Parkland, many of whom have never heard of Jesus. It's because of the seniors living in the Shoal Center and other retirement condos in our community that they have no one to talk to. The reason why unity is so important and why it needs to be so essential for us that we work on towards the unity, it's so that the world may believe. Folk, if we're going to make an impact in Sydney, it's not going to just because we play hockey in the parking lot. It's not going to be because we hand out tracts in downtown on Beacon Street. No, the world is going to take notice. We're going to make an impact because the world is going to be driving by our church every day, and the reputation is going to be out. You know what? There's something about that church. They're all a bunch of different people, real different people, but they're a bunch of different people, and they're focusing on Jesus. But it's not just on Sunday morning. They're real. They're because they love one another. They're united together. Folk, that's how we're going to impact our town. That's how we're going to impact the peninsula, as we are growing and serving together in unity. Number 4, healthy growing churches grow together in truth. Look back at chapter 4 of Ephesians and I want you to notice a couple verses. First of all, in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope when you were called, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. And down to verse 14, that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of cunning and teaching by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. There has always been two extremes in the church. There's one extreme teaching that says, I don't need teaching. I don't need to know what God's word says. All I need is the Holy Spirit. All I need is salvation. All I need is the presence of God. All I need to do is pray. I don't need the doctrine. I don't need the teaching. And then on the other side of the church, there are those who say, forget that weird Holy Spirit stuff. We don't need any of that. All we need is the Word of God. We need solid truth, Pastor. We need the Bible taught systematically every week. That's all we need to grow. And to that I say, it's not an either or, it's a both and. We both need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God joined together so that we are fully equipped to meet the dangers that are in front of us. I have never in my growing up years lived in a day where there is such a myriad of weird and twisted and even false teachings. In fact, the Bible says that it's not just a new phenomenon, but it happened even in Paul's day. In fact, Paul predicted or prophesied the day would come. In 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Folk, I think we're living in those days right now. I go on the internet, I go on social media, and I am inundated with all kinds of, no other word but to say, it's just plain weird. Strange teachings that I just don't get and understand, but yet people are grabbing hold of them because they're always prefaced with the terms, God has spoken to prophet so-and-so or apostle so-and-so this word. And even though the word may contradict or be contrary to what the Bible says, people grab onto it hook, line, and sinker because prophet so-and-so has said it. Folk, I want us to understand that in as much as I believe in the fivefold ministry of Ephesians chapter 4, folk, if a prophet or an apostle or a teacher or an evangelist preaches anything or teaches anything that is not found in this book, the Bible says, turn them off. God wants to transform us, and he'll transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit and his word. Number 5, we will grow. We will grow together in love. We'll grow together in love. God wants us to grow up, he says in verse 15. He wants us to know the whole truth and to tell it in love. Healthy churches speak the truth in love. Anyone ever have someone come to you or they send you an email and say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I want you to know I am telling what I'm about to say, I am saying in love. How many know what's going to happen next? I've gotten plenty of those. In fact, I'll be honest, I just recently got an email from someone. I don't know if they had been visiting our church or if they had been looking at something on the web, or they may have been listening to one of our podcasts. But I tell you, it wasn't an encouraging email, to tell you the truth. But they didn't sign it. I had no idea who it was from. And so, like in the good old days when we used to get letters, how many remember letters? I had a wise pastor say to me, if someone doesn't have the courage to postmark their envelope or sign their email, there's only one place for it to be filed. And so that's what I did. But understand, when Paul says we grow together in love, he's talking about our motivation for everything that we do. Because if we're going to be like Jesus, then we're going to love like Jesus. And if we're going to love like Jesus, then we're going to love our community and world that Jesus loves. If we're to be like Jesus in everything, we are going to be transformed into his image. If we are unsure what Jesus looks at, well, I've got a word. It's going to be love. Our community is going to know Jesus because we love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know what I love about this church? It is a loving church. It is. But can I caution us this morning that love be extended not just among us when we're gathered here on Sunday mornings, but it be expressed in the community as we're interacting with unbelievers. That the world will know that we are loved, not because we cut down the church leadership at Sirius Coffee Shop, but they'll know we're loved because we do what we can to be Jesus to everyone. And so people will see, and we will grow as we grow in Christ-likeness. Together we grow in Christ-likeness. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Healthy churches make Jesus known to their community and world by being like him. Special programs, revival services, or ministries will not cut it today. But if we are not like Jesus, then it doesn't matter what we do. Folk, we need to be reminded of this each and every day, that we are the only Bible people in Sydney are ever going to read. We can quote the scriptures till the rapture. But folk, if people don't see the love of Jesus, if they don't see the character of Jesus, it means nothing. Oh, I pray that we would ever be a church, we would ever be a people that impacts Sydney and the peninsula and Victoria with the love that we have for Jesus and for one another. Healthy churches involve lots of people, focus on Jesus. We're united in Jesus. We share we believe in the truth of Jesus, and we reflect him to our world. And finally, and with this, I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. We will grow stronger. This brings us full circle. Not only do healthy churches involve lots of different people, but healthy churches involve everyone doing their part. You see, on Sunday morning, we can get the temptation of being spectators. But folk, the Bible tells us that we're all a body, and each of us are active parts and important parts of this body. So what are you willing to do to play in making Highway Christian Fellowship a great growing church? You see, we need you. We need every person. We need everyone praying together. We need everyone coming together on Saturday nights from between 7 and 8. Or on Sunday mornings at 9:30 before service. We invite our men on Thursdays at 9 o'clock. And the ladies have a special time of prayer on Thursdays. We're now involved in a 40-day prayer emphasis. Folk, we're calling this church to prayer on October 20th. If we're going to grow in this community, it's going to be as we pray together. Secondly, it's going to be as we get plugged in and serve together. Last week, Pastor Sue and Chris shared with us the various ministries of our church where you can become involved. And if you picked up that flyer that we gave out last week, and we have some more, or you can go on our website. If you have filled that out, then please give it to either myself or Sue or Chris, and we'll make sure that you get plugged in. We want everyone plugged into a ministry. And finally, get connected with one another. It's our goal and vision that every person who makes HCF home is connected with God, one another, so we can reach our community. Whether you've been a follower of Jesus since you were 3 or made a recent decision to follow Christ, we need to find opportunities to be together. I'm so grateful that of late God has risen up a wonderful young adults fellowship group made up of some great young adults that are part of our church as well as some other churches, and they're just having a great time just coming together. They meet, I believe, Dorota, it's Thursday night, your key night now, Thursday night, 7:30. So if you're a young adult, 7:30 Thursday night, come and join them. Come and join them. And it's right here at the church, right here. Then there's the ladies' Bible study that's coming up in a few weeks that meets on Monday mornings at 10:30. Our care groups are starting up this Wednesday night. Our first care group is starting up at Merritt and Einar's. Einar and Merritt, stand up so everyone can see you. If you'd like to be part of a whole small group, they're one of our leaders, and we've got Dr. Trevor and Cynthia over here. They're joint leaders with Ike and Pat. Trevor, would you stand up? If you're would like to be part of a home group, you can talk with them as well. Starting on October the 2nd, we'll be beginning our Foundations Bible Study, or reconvening our Foundations Bible Study, which is just that. It is a Bible study. We're going systematically through the Bible together on Wednesdays at 1:30, starting October 2nd. In November, if you're new to our church, we're going to give you an opportunity to find out a little bit more through our Grow Tracks. And then later on in the new year, we'll be reintroducing Alpha again. Folk, there is no reason not to get involved. None. We've got it all here. Let me close with this story, and then we're going to worship and pray together. A man approached a minister and told him he wanted to join the church, but he didn't think he had a lot of time to devote to serving. I have a very busy schedule and can't be called upon to do any cleaning or teaching or serving in any way. I can't help with special projects or with the students, as all my evenings are tied up. The pastor thought for a moment, then said, "I believe you're at the wrong church. The church you're looking for is 3 blocks down the street on the right." The man left and followed the pastor's directions. He soon came to an abandoned, boarded-up church building. The pastor made his point. Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is this: to connect people to Jesus and equip them to be growing, faithful followers of Jesus. Can we count on you to make our mission possible? It is possible. When each of us commits to be on mission and be in ministry together. Let's stand. And the worship team's going to lead us.